I surrendered my life to Jesus as a college freshman. And the trajectory of my life is completely different than what it would have been. And so outside of my family, college students are the most important people on the planet to me. Because I believe that you guys can make changes and make them stick. You can make changes and make them stick. You can decide who you are going to be. And that's what God did in my life. I mean, I had to make a lot of choices along the way, but God came and found me. I was not looking for him. He came and found me. So I wanted you to know that about me, that as a college freshman, and man, my life has been so awesome since then. Not easy, but awesome. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've got together tonight. And I pray you'd be honored, and I pray that eternity would be different because of the time we've spent together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you've had this experience or not. If you haven't, you will. You're going to be somewhere maybe at the mall or you're on the campus or someplace where there's a lot of people and you hear somebody call your name. And you turn around and you look and you see that person and you go, I have no idea who that person is. And they're coming for you and they're smiling and they're acting so happy. And you're like, okay. And so they're coming closer and you're going through, you know, many computers running all the programs, trying to remember who this person is. And here they come. And as they get closer, you put your hand out to shake their hand, and they go right by you and greet somebody behind you. Have you had that experience? If you haven't, you will. Now, check this one. Have you ever thought you saw somebody that you knew, and you cried out their name?
Yes.
And when they turned around and you saw it was, you were like, mistaken identity. I'm going to talk to you tonight about mistaken identity. Most of us, including myself, have a mistaken idea of who God is. And tonight, we're going to talk about who God is. And I'm going to teach you five things that you, if you let these sort of soak down into your heart, is going to change you forever. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? Some of you are going, really? I don't think so. But I believe that these five things, if you let them sink down in your heart, they're going to change you forever. Now, why is this that we have a mistaken identity about who God is? Why is that? Well, I think that it's because he's different than us. God is different than us. In the Bible, it says, in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says this, it says, for your thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So one of the reasons is that God isn't like us. Now Moses, I think we can all agree, knew God better than anybody outside of Jesus. Outside of Jesus, Moses knew God better than anybody else that's ever lived. And he said this. Well, let me say this about his relationship with God. In Exodus 33, 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. That God would speak to Moses like that. And so arguably, Moses knew God better than anybody else outside of Jesus that's ever walked on the planet. And in Psalm 103, verses 7 through 18, this is where we're going to be tonight, Psalm 103, verses 7 through 18. If you've got the old-fashioned Bible, if you let your Bible open, just let it fall open in the middle, you're going to hit in Psalm somewhere. If you hit Proverbs, take a left. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 18. But what we're going to do is we're not going to read it all. We're going to read it in pieces. So we're going to read verse 7 first. It says this, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Now, the idea in the Greek here, not the Greek, but the Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So if anybody ever tells you, in the Old Testament, you know, in Greek, no. Anyway, this word ways, the word ways there, in the Hebrew it means acts. But not just what, but the why, the intentions of that act is what that word means. And when it says he made known his ways, his deeds, that is his nature and the methods of his dealing with the children of men. Moses and the Israelites knew both what to conceive of him and how to understand him and what to expect from God by what he did and how he handled them. Now, as we get to know someone, we might talk about, well, that's their way. That's just kind of the way they are. You ever said that? That's just kind of the way they are. So we kind of use this. And as we get to know someone, we begin to expect certain things from them. And it's the ways. We know them by their ways, as well as not we mean what they're like. We get this from their habits, their behaviors, their practices, and their reactions to different situations. This is how we understand the ways of people. Now, we learn what someone is like and what to expect from them by these. Now, what these verses are talking about is not what necessarily what God did, but what was revealed about him in doing that and the why behind what he did. Not so much only what he did, but the why behind that. Are you tracking with me? Yes. So this ways idea here is that's kind of what that means. Now, what is God really like? Again, many of us have a mistaken identity of who he is, including myself at times. And so let's look at verse 8 and let's begin to break this down. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. So number one, the first thing that we're going to learn from about God is this. He has a long fuse. He has a long fuse. Now, you're going to repeat back to me, so just get your mouths ready. I mean, if you need a drink, a little water, put a little chapstick on those chapped lips. I don't know about you, but I don't know how you get this dry this quick. Those of you from New Mexico, well, you guys are all from the dry places. I'm the oddball here, so I'll be cracking right in front of you, so... He has a long fuse, and what this means is it burns for a long time before it comes to its end. It burns for a long time before it comes to its end. He never flies off the handle. He never overreacts. God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. Do you still say that now? Well, they got up on the wrong side of the bed today, you know? That's why they're acting like that. Well, God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed, and he never has a bad day. Now, this idea of he flies off the handle, now, in my family... My mother burned hot all the time. It just was what different levels of hot she was burning at. And my dad had a quick fuse. Now, my mother's fuse, you know what I mean by a fuse? You know that thing that when you light firecrackers, that thing that burns? Yes. Burns down, gives you a little time to run away or throw that thing. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you didn't throw it quick enough. And my dad had a short fuse. My dad was Italian, a prototypical Italian. I'm Italian. My middle name's Angelo. My dad's first name is Nero. Check that out. Huh? Can you be more Italian than Nero? And I was almost named after him. Now, I believe if I was named after him, I'd be in a different line of work. Because I am from Chicago. You know what I'm talking about, huh? You're not looking. Anyway. So my dad, I mean, if you did something wrong, boom. My mother was burning all the time, so she was upset all the time. She was mad at my dad, so she had a slow burnout all the time. And my dad and they could both fly off the handle pretty quick at each other or at me, so I tried to lie low most of the time. Now, God does not have, he's not burning all the time, and he doesn't have a long fuse. He has a long fuse. He doesn't have a short fuse. He has a long fuse, which means he doesn't get angry quickly. He never overreacts. He never flies off the handle. He's never going to do something that I'll have to apologize to you for. Now, I want to look at something else. It also says in here that he's abounding in love. Now, this idea of abounding here, the picture of that I can express for you is this. Let's suppose that you go to a place, they have the best coffee, okay? How many of you like coffee? How many of you have a soft drink that you like? Okay, well, whichever one of those you want, put that in your mind here, okay? Let's just suppose you go to one of your favorite restaurants and The server, the wait staff person is a talkative person. You know, they're talking the whole time. They're enjoying seeing you and having you in their restaurant. And they're filling up your next cup or your next glass. And while they're doing this, they're just pouring and they're talking. And you know they're pouring and they're just talking. And so you've decided to be a little feisty, so you're not going to stop them. You're going to see how long they'll pour before they realize they need to stop. So what's happening now is, let's go with the glass, okay? It's easier. You're watching the glass rise. The liquid lies in the glass. And now it's about 3/4 of the way up, and they're still talking and not looking. And now it's almost to the brim, and they're still talking, and they're not looking. And now it's at the top, and they're still, and you're still keeping your mouth shut. You're watching. And now it's running down the sides, and they're still pouring. And now it's running down the table onto the floor. That is a picture of abounding. Your glass is abounding in whatever drink it is that you like. That's what abounding means. God is abounding in love for you. It's overflowing. He's pouring more love on your life than you need or you can hold. That's the idea of abounding. That's what he's doing. He's abounding in love. He's just pouring it all over you and me. So we've learned one thing about God so far. What is it? Talk back to me now. What is it? He has a long fuse. He never flies off the handle. He's never quick to anger. He's got a long fuse. Now there's number two here for you. This is based on verse 9. He'll not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He has a short memory, but not a bad one. Okay, he's got a short memory, but not a bad one. You see, he gets over things quickly. He chooses to forget. He doesn't hold a grudge. It's a good thing he's not like us. Many of us don't get hysterical, but we can get historical. Some of you weren't listening. Let me say that again. Because if you're like me, I'm looking around. Many of us, we don't get hysterical, but we get historical. We don't forget. You know? We ever heard a person say, well, I can forgive them, but I'll never forget it. As if that was some badge of honor to wear. As if that's a very Christian thing to do. Forgiving but not forgetting. I mean, they'll even say that. Maybe you've said that. Maybe I've said that. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. You know, it's hard to forgive and forget. The best thing I've heard about, the most helpful thing that I've had about this, because, you know, there are some things that are going to happen to your life that really hurt. You're going to do some things to some people that are really going to hurt them. Some people are going to do some things to you that are really going to hurt you and really be hard to get past. And I've had some of those. Here's the best thing that I've heard to help, has helped me. When you see that person, what's going to happen is what they did to you is going to play on the big screen of your mind. Ba-da, there it will be again. Now, what do? Here's the best thing I've heard, is that you just don't up the volume or turn up the contrast or the color. You just try not to engage with it. Don't engage with it. And sooner or later, it will begin to fade away. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Don't even, when it comes up in your mind, don't entertain it. Just turn away from it. And that will not be easy, but it'll be a choice that you'll have to make. And pretty soon, when you look at that person, it won't be quite as clear a picture as it was before. Now, I'm giving you a short answer to a very difficult situation. But it's a start. And it's a desire to want to forgive them. To want to forgive them. Now, God is a short fuse. He's a short memory, but not a bad memory. He's not forgetful. He isn't like your grandpa who just can't remember. You know, I don't remember that. That is not the way God is. God chooses to not remember. He chooses to not look at you that way. You know, what if every time I introduced my daughter, I said, this is my daughter, Lindsay, and she lied to me back in 19 so-and-so or 2000 so-and-so. or this is my friend, the liar. Here he is. No, God does not do that. When he sees you, he doesn't see that. But it isn't because he couldn't see that. It's not because he's blind or forgetful. It's because he chooses to not see you that way. He makes that choice. So we've learned two things about God. What are they? What's the first one? He never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. He never flies off the handle. He never has a bad day. He'll never have to apologize because he overreacted to something. What's the second thing? But not a bad memory. Okay, so we got those two. This is a sharp group. I'm telling you, this is a sharp group. All right, number three is found in verse 10. Verse 10 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The third thing that we're going to learn about God tonight is this. He has a thick skin. He has a thick skin. He isn't touchy. He's not easily offended. Now listen to this. Catch this one. This is really important. He has no desire to get even or to get back at us or to even the score. Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it? You know, some of us live as if God is out to get you. You know something? If God was out to get you, he could get you good. He is not out to get you. But some of you act like he is, and you feel like he is. You see, he has a thick skin. He doesn't expect us to make it up to him or to promise not to do it again. Don't ever promise God you won't do something again. Don't do that, because the enemy is listening too. Oh, really? And let's just suppose, God, I'll never do that again. And then you do it again. Then what do you say? I'll never, never do it again. And then when you do it again, you say, I'll never, never, never do it again. I'll really never do it again. Don't promise God you won't do it again, because what that does is that sets you up to not want to talk to God, to not want to be with God, because you're going to be so disappointed in yourself. And that disappointment in ourselves keeps us from God, and that's what the enemy wants. The enemy's goal of getting you to sin, other than destroying you, is to separate you from God, because he knows that when you sin, the last person you want to talk to is your daddy. Am I right? That's the big thing that he's after. Adam and Eve hid from God. You remember that? And we'll do the same thing. So you don't promise God you won't do it again. Now, obviously, we don't want to do it again. It's not like, well, God, I'll do that again. Just be ready. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We don't want to do it again. But the problem is, we're just goofballs. We're just mess-ups. Now, we're not as big a mess-up as we were before. I'm not as big a goofball as I once was, but I'm still capable of that. But when I promise him, then my ego gets involved and my emotions get involved. And let's just try to keep them out of the game. They're tough to deal with anyway. So just ask God's forgiveness and let it go with that. And if it happens again, it happens again. And he's not going to go, again. What's up with you? God's not like that, see. He will not do that to you. Now, God has a thick skin. We, on the other hand, tend to be thin-skinned. You know, I was waiting for her out there, and she saw me, but she walked on in without me. Those guys, they told me when they were going to go hiking and they just left me. We're often thin-skinned and easily hurt. But remember, God is not like you. He's not like your mama. He's not like your daddy. He's not like your coach. He's not like your teacher. He is who he is. And he has a thick skin. He's not easily offended. He's not easily hurt. So we know three things about God. It's the first one. Man, I'll tell you what, you can do better than that. He'll never fly off the handle. He never gets carried away. He never runs hot. I love my mom, and I love my dad. My mom ran hot all the time. I mean, you could light a cigarette on my mom. I'm serious. Well, you know, sort of. Not literally. I love my mom, okay? I do, and I'm grateful for them. I'm just kind of trying to help you out here. Now, my dad, he would, boom, and it was over. But then he's likely to just pick you up and kiss you on the mouth. It's okay if your dad does that, but don't you be doing that. But unless you do it with your kid. But he was prototypical Italian. My dad was about 5'8", 5'9", and he was rotund. But my dad was built different than me. My dad had big arms and big legs, and you didn't mess with him. When I was in eighth grade, I thought, I can outrun this old man. You know, because when you're in eighth grade, you know everything. It's all downhill from there. And anyway, I thought I can outrun him, so I smarted off to him about knowing that he's got a very short fuse. You know, you're not real smart. Well, I smarted off to him, and I'm coming out of the blocks, man. I'm about to dash, and he tripped me. I hit the dirt. He picked me up by the back of my shirt, and the rest is history. Yeah, I didn't do that again. Number four. Are we on number four? Yes. Okay, number four. He has a soft heart, but he's not a soft touch. He has a soft heart, but he's not a soft touch. Verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Now let's take a look at that one verse there that everybody's kind of thinking about on those who fear him. Let's break that one down. Give me some thoughts on this. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now the fear of the Lord, the idea of fear here is not so much as if the aliens landed on the front lawn, okay? Or if, do you have tornadoes in Colorado? Yeah, well, go along with me. If a tornado tore the roof off the building, okay? But the Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire. So our God is not somebody you mess with. But the idea, so that's kind of in here, but the real idea for fear here is putting God in his rightful place in my life. A holy awe for God, a holy awe of God, that I am beginning to understand who he is and who I am, and that I have a holy reverence for God. And this is the mark of those who know him. Those who have put him in their right, in his rightful place in their lives. They have a tremendous understanding of who he is, and there's this awe and deep reverence for him. That's the idea of fear here. So it's really kind of those who put him in their right, in his rightful place in their life. Now, we never want to mistake God's kindness for weakness or for indifference, or for indulgence. He's very serious about his children, and they're growing into his likeness, the likeness of Jesus. You know that's what he's up to in your life. What he's up to in your life while you're on the planet is the closest resemblance to Jesus as is possible. And he's going to spare nothing. He's not going to spare anything to himself or to you to try to bring this about. Have you ever been go somewhere with your parents when you were little and they said, oh, he looks just like you? Or they say, you look just like your dad, and you go, oh, no. Just kidding. But what God is up to is trying to make you look like Jesus. That when people encounter you, they sense Jesus. Now, you're not Jesus, but he's trying to get the closest family resemblance to him that is possible. You see, God chooses to be kind to us. He chooses to be kind to us. And he expresses this kindness in two different ways. He expresses it first through his forgiveness. For his forgiveness. Now, who lives at the North Pole? Santa Claus, that's right. What school are you from? All right, buddy, you are that's a high class deal there, buddy. Santa Claus. Who lives at the South Pole? Yes. Now let's see if you get this one. Who lives at the East Pole? Who lives at the West Pole? Sharp group, there is no East Pole or West Pole. Now I know that we kind of know the divide there. First time I flew to China, I got on the plane, we took off. It was, I don't know, in the evening or something. And I noticed that they had all the shades pulled down. It was a daytime. They had all the shades pulled down on the windows. All of them were pulled down. I thought, that's weird. You know, we don't do that. I went over there and lifted one up, and I was looking out there, and you know what I saw? Water. And water. And more water. And I pulled the shade down. Because I didn't want to think about water. With no land, by the way. And somewhere, we crossed the international date line, and I landed in Hong Kong 2 days before I left, something like that. It was nuts. A day, I'm like, what happened here? Of course, when I went back, it was worse. For days, I didn't know where I was at. But at some point, I crossed that international date line. And what I think they should do is they need to put a line on there like they have in the NFL games that shows the first down marker. You know, you've now crossed it. You've entered the twilight zone. Anyway. You know, the North Pole and the South Pole are clear places we can delineate. We know where they are. But there is no East Pole and West Pole. And the Bible says that God has taken our sins and put them as far as the east is from the west. And our sin now is in nowhere land. Now, you can try to go find it if you want to. Some of you go dig up your backyard. You get out your spiritual backhoe. Start digging away to remind everybody about yourself. Remind yourself about it. Stop it. Because when you bring up to God, he says, what are you talking about? Because he's forgiven you. Now, the problem is you probably haven't forgiven yourself. That's a real problem. Because, and I know you're disappointed in yourself. I'm disappointed in myself when I mess up too. And tomorrow night, we're going to talk about what you do when you mess up. But tonight, you need to stop doing that. You need to receive God's forgiveness. Well, I wouldn't forgive me. Well, remember in the beginning, God is not like you. Isn't that good? I don't want God to be like me. Because some days I do get up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes I do have a bad day. Anybody else? You know, and if God's had a bad day, we got problems. But you need, when you ask God to forgive you, you need to let it go. Who do you think you are anyway? If God's willing to forgive you and you're not, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? Or just, I mean, and when I say that, I'm a part of the group here, so I've begun to make some progress in that. And we'll talk about that on the following day. But you need to let it go because God has taken. If you've asked him to forgive you, you don't have to go back to that one. And if you meant it, God forgave you. And it is over. Isn't that good? So the first way he shows it in his forgiveness. And the second way he shows this love is through his understanding. And this is through in verses 13 and 14. These are some of the most important verses in my life. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. Now, some of you had daddies who didn't have any compassion. And I'm really sorry about that. My dad did have a short fuse, but he was compassionate too. I mean, after he did what was necessary, he'd pick you up, hug you, kiss you on the lips, tell you he loved you. But you didn't want to do that again. You see, you might not have had a daddy who was compassionate. But your big daddy is compassionate. Your father is compassionate. And he has, as a father, as a good daddy, has compassion on his children. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. There it is again, who put him in their rightful place, in his rightful place in their life. His compassion on his children, the Lord's compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. You see, he has a clear perspective on us because he was one of us. He knows what it's like to be a human. And I believe that he knows it's hard to be a human. I believe that he knows it's hard for you to trust him. He's not surprised about that. He was one of us. He faced everything we face. Now, maybe not specifically. He wasn't offered cocaine on the corner. But whatever the temptation is that's behind that, he was offered that. He knows it's hard to be a human. And I'll tell you what, man, that's pretty good. Now, I'm going to count to three, and we're going to take a deep breath. Because some of us have been, and we need a deep breath. We need to relax and enjoy being a follower of Jesus. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to take a deep breath. You ready? Up there in the balcony? Over there in the carriage house? Hello? Sorry I haven't talked to you sooner. We're all thankful that you took chairs over there and not over here. Thank you. I mean that. And I'm going to count to three, and we're going to take a deep breath. One, two, three. That feel good? Let's do that again. One, two, three. You can relax. He knows how you're formed. He remembers that you're a dust. Now, we've learned four things about God. What's the first one? Start over again. There haven't been that many, guys. What's the first one?
He has a long fuse.
Okay, not creamy net. Okay, he's got a long fuse. He never flies off the handle. He's long-suffering. What's the second one? Not a bad man. He's got a short memory, but he's not a bad memory. He's not forgetful. He chooses to forgive you. That's a choice he's made. And as we get to know him better, that's a choice that we'll make. What's the third thing? Say it again. He has a thick skin. And he's not a lot, sometimes not like us, because we have a tendency to have thin skin. He has this thick skin. He's not easily hurt. Isn't that good that he's not easily hurt? He's not easily offended. Did you ever say anything, something stupid? Yes. Has anybody ever said anything stupid? Well, I'll let you know when I do, but all of us have said stupid things. What's the fourth thing? That's right. He's not an easy touch. He's not going at you like, wink, wink. You know, like your grandpa might do to his grandson. He's just a growing boy. Wink, wink. No. God is not a soft touch, but he's got a soft heart. And he shows that by his, number one, forgiveness. And number two, his understanding. That understanding part, I don't know about you, but that gets me pretty fired up. Now we got a fifth thing here. He's devoted to his children. He is loyal and faithful and committed and true. Let's take a look at the verses for this one. Verse 15 says, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. Wow, is that encouraging? But now, Clayton talked about, what was that you talked about, the therefore? What's it there for? Now, this is not a therefore, though. This is a but. And but means we're going to change a direction here. Okay, we'll go with that. Some of your versions have that. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. There it is again. Whose righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. He is devoted. If you're a follower of his tonight, you become his child. You've surrendered your life to him and to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is devoted to you. He is devoted to you. Now, what we have here in these verses is it contrasts. It contrasts our nature between God's nature. You see, you and I are short timers. God is eternal. You and I are finite. He's infinite. And he's contrasting that for us. This could be really depressing. And I'm older than I've ever been. And I ain't dead yet, but anyway, moving along. I've been around a long time now. And what this does is it highlights our need. Now, our lives are going to come to an end. We need a Savior. And the second part of it highlights his commitment to us. You see, from everlasting to everlasting is what he says here. Never fading or ending. It's still there no matter what you do or you don't do. Because it's not dependent on you. You're not holding on to him. He's holding on to you. It's not dependent. You know, God didn't like you one day and he dislikes you the next day. He likes you. You know, there's a difference in loves and likes. You know? Sometimes we've got to love people, but we don't like them. God likes you. If you know Jesus tonight, he likes you. He's still there no matter what we do or don't do. Again, it's not dependent on me. Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever is he going to let go of you. So we know, there's no mistaken identity anymore about who God is. This is his identity according to the Bible. This is who he is. Let's repeat those five things one more. In fact, let's do number five first. What's number five? I didn't hear that one very well. Let's try that again. What was that? Let's add it again. He has a faithful what?
I don't know.
I didn't go through to five? I thought I said that. Wait a minute. I said number five? Uh-oh. He's devoted to his children. That's number five. What does the thing say, the blank say? Wow. Well, I'm not perfect yet. Scratch that out. I even looked at this today. You see, Jesus still loves me. Even though I've messed this up. Yeah, well, he's devoted to his children. Is that okay? Is that okay, brother, back there? All right. Let's go with that. All right. Well, let's move along. And that contrasts our natures. A is our contrast, our natures. And B, it highlights his commitment. You got that there? So I did get that part right, didn't I? A, let's put it this way. Just write down contrasts our natures. Contrast, first verses 15 and 16 contrasts our natures. And verses 17 through 18, it highlights his commitment. Would have been good if I'd looked at it a little closer, but I was full of tea from Chick-fil-A. Let's blame that on them. That must have been the problem because it couldn't have been. Well, let's move along here. All right, we got five things we've learned about God. Let's try to see if we got them. We'll see what the fifth one comes out as. Whatever you've written down will be okay with me. I'm not checking your homework. What's number one? I think we all got this one. Okay. What's number two?
He has a soft heart, but not a soft touch.
And now I'm interesting to hear what number five is. He's devoted to his children. That's exactly right. You guys did so well. Hey, before we go out of here, now knowing these will make you, you know, knowing these should help you with the first commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And knowing these five, that should make that an easier deal, because he really is for you. And this is who he is. Now, as I close, I got a question for you. What's your response to all of this? I'm not just going to leave this with you, but what's your response to this? Now, he's not your mom, although you might have the most loving mom in the world. He's not your dad, although you might have had the most loving dad in the world, or you may not even know who your dad is. But he's not that person. And after tonight, you need to begin to relate to the God who is, not the one that you've had in your mind, the mistaken identity that you had before. Tonight, you need to begin to relate to the God who's there. So for some of you, that's what you need to do. He's for you. Don't be afraid to be honest with him and to get things right with him. Some of you are hiding things from him tonight. He is for you. He could not be more on your team. Just whatever it is, just get it right with him. There's nothing you will say to him and he'll go, "Huh? I didn't know that." He knows. He was there when you did it. Get it right with him, because he's for you. He's for you. Some of you need to get off your own back. That's kind of a weird picture, isn't it? I don't know how you do it, but some of you are doing it very well. You're the only one up there. This is how, these five things is how God relates to his kids. These were the things that Moses learned about him and the children of Israel learned about him because of his ways, the way he treated them. These five, however, assume a relationship with him. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This assumes a relationship, but it also opens a door for a relationship for you. If you don't know him tonight, this opens the door. This is the real God in the universe, not the one that you heard about or some kid in your neighborhood told you about or you thought about, but this is the real one. And it opens a door for relationship. Accept his love and forgiveness and become one of his kids today. You can do that just by doing what I did as a college freshman. By surrendering to him and giving your life to him. Handing the keys of your life over to him. Accept his love and his forgiveness. Now you might say, well, my aunt so-and-so was a Christian. I guess I am too. Let me tell you something. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. It doesn't matter whether your mom or your dad are followers of Jesus, or your aunt or your uncle or your grandma or your grandpa. You've got to decide for yourself. This is up to you. So wherever you stand with Jesus today, if there's something that you're carrying around, don't. In just a moment, I'm going to have us pray. Let it go. Doesn't matter how bad it is or what it is. Let it go. And begin to enjoy that freedom that there is in knowing Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to set us free. For freedom. And there's freedom in Jesus. And if you don't know him, this is the God that you would be committing your life to. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the time we've had together tonight. And Lord, I pray as we're here, guys, if you're carrying something that you're just so ashamed of, you're so angry or upset or disappointed in yourself, let it go. Confess it to him right now. And if you've confessed it a million times, just let it go. This is your chance to do that. And if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never allowed Him to take over your life, this is the God who's calling you to Himself. Do it. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us and for being this way, whether we know it or not. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.